ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a gig.
So, right. It's been a long time to go back to Middle Earth. We've been waiting a long time for this. 2 episodes of it are out. So let's talk about it, shall we? I'm AJ Jenks and we are 8 Days a Geek and I'm here with...
Benjamin Pry. That's got to be the worst intro of all time. And that's coming from me.
I am not G'd up for this podcast. Chris Weeks.
G'd up.
Perfect.
Jenks, give me some energy. Come on.
The great thing... Here's some energy. I'm AJ Jenks, and we are 8 Days a Geek, and we're going to talk about Lord of the Rings.
We're going to talk about
the King of the Rings, or whatever it is.
Game of Rings.
Here we are, the Game of Rings.
It's sort of false energy. Normally it's sort of, you know.
It's all false.
What's going on with you?
It's all false. I'm sure we'll find out as this pod goes on what's going on with me, won't we?
Revealing
himself. Why he's run out of spunk, we'll find out.
Jesus. It's Monday.
Sorry, you're right.
So, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. Before we start getting into this thing that we've been given, which is the most expensive thing ever made in history, TV show-wise, not like ever. I'm sure like there's a bridge out there that was more expensive
Bridges are famously expensive.
They are ridiculously expensive.
That is the first thing I think of when I think big money.
Yeah.
Big bridge.
Too expensive, mate, really.
That's the kind of construction you want to be in, really. Mm. Bridge building.
Do it solo. Don't share it, you know.
Build a bridge solo?
Yeah.
And solo.
You make big money out of that. Think of a toll. A toll and a bridge. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the money you make back.
Not in the building, is it? That's in the, you know,
operation.
It's on my bridge.
I'll bridge you in a minute.
So.
Go on.
Do you guys remember when we found out that Amazon had bought the rights to Lord of the Rings and they were going to make a show? What were your thoughts?
It was unfortunate because it was at the same time that they were going to release a Lord of the Rings themed MMO at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And
they sort of announced this Lord of the Rings everything. It's like they got the rights. So, let's do everything quick. Let's do everything. And so we were spoiled with this news that we'd be getting... I think at least 2 games, maybe 2 or 3 games, one of them an MMO, the series, a TV series, and we were like, this is fantastic. And it slowly just crumbled away. And so I was thinking, I don't have much faith in this.
I've forgotten about the MMO, but you're right. Now that's come back to me. I'm irritated. But you know, we still got Lotro.
Lotro, we do, yeah.
I mean, it's incredibly old now.
I tell you what, I logged in, though, a couple of days ago after watching this.
And,
it does feel like home, you know?
Mm. Home.
Did either of you guys play Shadow of War?
Endlessly. Recently as well. I went back to it recently.
I've recently downloaded it, just started playing it again.
Brilliant.
How are you finding it?
Maxed it.
It's a fantastic game. Fantastic game. Not lore.
A lot of lore.
It's a shame. But Calabrimbro, whatever, isn't it?
He isn't.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Of course.
Which is
a little apparently fun.
So, did either of you watch the trailers for this?
Not really.
I didn't really. I watched little bits, but I wasn't taking it in. I just sort of saw them pass by and I was like, I don't know what any of this is, but great.
I never sat down and like, you know, the way that you do. Really go through it and analyze it and, you know, look for hidden meanings and things like that. I never got that into it because I was just afraid of what they were up to, you know, down there.
Down where?
Yeah.
You know, down there.
Down there.
You know what they're like.
I think you've hit on a good point there, Christopher.
I know.
Yeah, his point.
I think...
Was that?
We were all very scared.
Very small. Pry, were you scared or what?
I'm still terrified.
Still
to be honest.
Scared.
I'm even though I've watched these 2 episodes, I'm still so nervous.
Oh yeah,
I'm so nervous
it's because nothing. Well, no, we'll get into it.
Nothing matters anymore.
Nothing matters. I don't know about you boys, but this is another thing, because obviously Game of Thrones is going on at the same time as
Yes, difficult company to keep.
It's really hard company when the third episode also has just come out as we're recording this, and it was bloody brilliant.
It was, but they all have been, haven't they, really, in their own way. Even the second one, which was quite a subdued one, was excellent.
More about that later.
All this politicking. sorry.
That did really remind me of you weeks.
Oh, yeah.
That
I really resonate with Paddy a lot.
Yeah.
I have to say.
That is a classic Weeks thing.
He's off the fucking chain.
Is that what you want to say?
Yeah. I think you've really got me there.
Yeah, that's really Chris Weeks. That
what a Weeks thing to say.
He used to walk into rehearsals, didn't he, and just scream that out loud in front of everyone.
You got me.
Yeah,
too jazzy.
So I mean, there must be. I don't even feel like I've watched it.
Look.
Have you watched it?
I have watched it.
Oh, right.
When did you watch it? Yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday evening.
Look, where were you when you watched this? I have to go through the
clips. Who was your girlfriend?
Of course. I watched it with my lovely partner.
Who's that?
Joanne. I watched
Joanne
it.
Joanne who?
Well, you don't need a second name.
I need all the names.
They know.
What's her middle name?
They know.
Everyone knows. Do you not read Heat?
They know. Come on. So I watched it and watched both episodes straight through. That was me. Obviously watched it what?
That was me!
Where's this coming from?
Answer this guy.
Crackers.
That was my story. What about you two fellas? Come on.
I really didn't think you were going to say Lord. Fellas.
What about you two? Come
on. Go on, Pry, where were you? Were you with your brother?
I was with Chris's wife, actually.
Hold on. One second.
Sorry. I watched this just sitting right here where I am right now talking to you boys. And
hang on. I thought we were doing podcasts when we were talking. Were you watching Lord of the Rings?
Sorry. So sorry. I just let it slip there, didn't I?
No wonder he was so distracted.
That's why he hardly talks. He's just watching stuff.
He churns out the same old nonsense.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, sorry. That was below the belt.
Yeah. I watched it on release, obviously. I'm not a slacker like Jenks over there.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Delicious. Yeah, what did you do, Weeks?
I watched it in a premiering.
Oh.
I always go to the premierings to watch the premieres of things, you know that?
Yeah.
And
I'm off, Lucy. I'll see you later.
We've got a TV here.
No! And funnily enough, I was eating blackberries.
He's like a Greek emperor, isn't he? That's what he's like. Roman emperors.
Laying there
is.
Naked.
Look,
just,
When you... No, that's not how you eat blackberries. You know that. You're eating them like a bunch of grapes. That's not how you eat them.
All right.
If you do that with blackberries, they grow on like thorns. You can't put a thorn in your mouth.
Hold on, do that again.
Oh, wait, I pick the blackberries. I don't eat them from the bush.
You don't eat them from a bush?
No.
This is seedy stuff.
Are we talking about the same thing, here, lads?
Right, Chris, you watched it in a premiere end.
I did, eating blackberries.
And how did you eat them?
Straight from the bush. and yeah.
So you watched it in a premiere end.
Correct, and I watched both. Back to back, of course. I think everyone did.
Yeah.
And I felt like... Hold on.
And I felt like...
I felt like I had got to the end of, like, The Hobbit Part 1, you know, or The Fellowship of the Ring, I suppose. But it's not quite the same as that. In that I was like, oh, I do need to go back and watch it again because there was an awful lot of stuff in there. Mm. And it felt much more filmic. And quality. Mm. I suppose we'll get into all this, won't we?
That's what we're doing.
Why I'm here.
This is going to be... Is it the largest or second largest amount of Tolkien on TV that we've had?
What would be the first largest if this was the second largest?
Lord of the Rings?
On TV?
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, live action.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, to what?
I think this is the largest. Does that comfort you? Well, they're doing
that's
like
a bit of a treat.
They're doing like six seasons or something, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
8 episodes in this,
an hour each.
Yeah, I mean it's big stuff.
Bloody felt like it.
It was just bloody go on, didn't it? Oh. Hey, come on now.
Okay.
Behave yourselves.
Let's get into this.
Let's delve.
I'm really interested because my God, this is so different to House of Dragon.
Yes.
In terms of everything, like script wise, I was like, oh my God, I forgot this boat like this.
Yeah.
Jesus, I've been in such a different world. So the first episode is A Shadow of the Past.
Hang on.
So we get this long interlude.
Is this an interlude as it's at the beginning? Traditionally,
the interlude at the beginning.
Traditionally,
it's like, right, I'm watching off. I need a break.
Yeah, 2 seconds in. Hold on.
That's what shocked me. That's what shocked me. See,
yeah,
straight off. So pretty much, we have Galadriel's story. We see young Galadriel making a boat.
Little baby Galadriel.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
I mean, do you like the swan boat?
Lovely.
Yeah. It's sort of, at first I thought it was paper, but then when he took it out, it looked more like a sort of parchment of sorts.
Cool.
If you know what I mean. Did that not fascinate you? When he took it out with his
I'll
sword.
I'll make a note of that.
Parchment?
It's just
not
go on.
Paper.
I don't know. They fulfill such similar purposes in my mind.
No, they don't. Listen, bit of paper, you try and fish that out with a sword, that's a soggy mess that's going to break into 1,000 pieces.
He's got a lot of experience fishing around with swords.
You fish out a light.
Give me that, you don't know what you're doing.
a woven piece of fabric. That comes out in one like it did. It was, yeah. Mm. I just found that fascinating because for a start, you can't fold a bit of fabric like that.
Hey,
and make a
she
boat.
Can do whatever she wants.
And also, it was autonomous as well.
Yeah. Like all good civilizations.
And like all good parchment boats.
Parchment boats, mate.
Well, it didn't float, did it? It sailed.
Exactly.
I don't know much paper that sails, so I think Prime may be right on this.
See? Hang on, I'm not saying that it was a paper boat.
Parchment.
Why have they suddenly got paper?
Hey, shush now, you. Shush.
I need an interlude.
I told you. Got that.
So... Galadriel's brother.
Hello.
Shocker.
Elrond.
Finrod.
Good old
Finrod. He had a bit of a modern haircut, didn't he, old Finrod?
So the haircut thing has come up with quite a few people. And I don't know. I don't know if I was bothered by it particularly. I know the elves wear it long in Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But why would they not cut their hair?
Because, I'll tell you for why.
They're not like the Dothraki.
Okay. So... in all of Lord of the Rings lore, in all of the books, in every kind of bit of Tolkien-esque lore. Now, you know me, boys. I'm a bit of a first age and a second age geek. So, when I saw an elf with short hair, not just the elves that we see later on, but this particular elf, I thought, no, that doesn't fit the lore because they don't have long hair. They don't. These are high elves. They're meant to have the longest, most beautiful hair ever. It literally says it in the Silmarillion. So what's going on here then, shall we say, is rubbish.
Well, I mean, I just don't know. I'm not sure if I buy it. I can't believe that they would just go against something for no reason whatsoever.
Well, the more we talk, the more we'll talk about that.
About what?
How the lore is slightly different. Shall we?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's carry on.
So I thought he had a wonderful haircut.
Yeah, I mean, they've all got great
Did you like
hair.
His haircut?
Oh, it was lovely. It looked really nice.
He had lovely hair as well.
I'll take it back. So Finrod dies in the great battle against Morgoth and the great war against Morgoth. Obviously, Morgoth isn't actually his name. Morgoth is one of the elven words used... one of the words that they invent for death. His real name is Melkor.
Oh, he was Melkor before he fell, wasn't he? That was when he was one of the angelics.
He was indeed. But I mean, did we like this prologue?
I mean, it did set the scene. I enjoyed the little look at Sauron.
That was sick.
And I also, I like that they didn't show him too clearly, because obviously everyone knows what he looks like.
Yeah.
It's boring now, isn't it? Seen it too much.
Did you expect to see the elven prince version of him?
Of Sauron?
Yeah.
No.
Ah,
not all he has to say.
And why is that, good sir?
No, he doesn't need to explain. That speaks a thousand words.
I'm expecting to see him later in the show.
Ah, very good, young sir.
As in Avatar, when he comes back and he's disguised himself. Yeah, Avatar. Yeah, great film.
Avatar. Yeah.
We'll be doing that one day.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, so technically, so we're in Second Age. So Sauron should return as the smithy.
The smithy. Yeah. Absolutely.
In his many fake little deceiving looks that he has.
Yeah, the most beautiful of all.
But, I mean, I won't lie, this prologue is sick. I do love all of this prologue. Did you like how Finrod had the scars and the scratches?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the werewolf scars.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Very nice little touch.
The wolf scars. And I love that they didn't actually point that out. That was just a nice little moment.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of that sort of thing. There's quite a lot of little hints and touches which are not highlighted, which I do like. It just lives there, you know, sits in the background.
Mm. Yeah. They don't mention Sauron escaping through the tunnels and the tombs.
No.
Which I found a bit interesting.
But it might still come. It felt like it was an overview rather than a, I don't know. Like they hinted towards that later on as well, didn't they? Mm. And there have been all sorts of things. I'm sorry, I'm still looking at the hair thing online.
I thought we were past that.
No, I can't get past it because it's been such a big deal with people. I'm like, no, I just don't.
With who? Who else has talked to you about it?
On horrible. This is the issue that I've got, right? The Lord of the Rings.
Horrible.
The Lord of the Rings fandom was once magnificent, and the Star Wars fandom was atrocious. And now the Lord of the Rings fandom is just as bad. I'm disgusted by it. I'm leaving all the groups because of all the hate that's being spewed. I can't stand it.
I think we are going to get that, though.
What,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you should see what our fans are saying. They're disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Prize got the Gmail on this. It's mental.
Oh, dear.
We're getting some hate.
He's got the Gmail,
right? We've had a petition actually made to call for our final episode. But
I thought you were going to say call for our heads.
Borrow that too.
Bring me the heads.
But do you not understand why people are saying it?
Well, see, I'm looking it up now, and people are saying that Tolkien actually is unspecific when it comes to length of hair. He's very specific about colour, and then Legolas was blonde when he should have been a brunette, and I'm like, oh yes, that's right.
Mm.
And he describes Celeborn's hair as silver long and bright.
Yeah.
So he's very specific about it, but generally he describes the beauty of the hair and the resplendence of it rather than it being specifically long. And it's more old Jacko, Michael Jackson's, movies, which have sort of cemented it.
So glad you actually said that. I had no idea who you're on about.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. Now we know it's MJ. This was all MJ's fault.
Fine.
Well, there we go anyway. There we go. That's the thing that's obviously going to... They knew that was going to happen, the creators.
The crew cut, I'm a bit like, is that beautiful hair?
I think it's beautiful hair.
Oh, prior!
No, I think if you're going to stick by your guns and say that he mainly specified the beauty of it as opposed to the length or anything, then that's in the eye of the beholder. And I think
I think that's very sweet, Brian.
That is
thanks,
nice,
mate.
Isn't it?
Thanks.
Very nice.
He's always been the beating heart of this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I've always been... No, wait. We've already done that, haven't we?
I like the... I just like some of the... Like the YouTube videos. Why do these elves have short hair?
I mean, for people to go that much into it, then, yeah, they need to chill out.
It's pretty crackers.
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but I'm not going to, you know, say it online or something like that and let it be released.
I'm not going to say
it. That's literally what we're doing, Jeff. And our video comes out tonight as well about the length of hair, so you guys can check that out.
That's going to be really good, actually.
Yeah.
What do you think of Galadriel?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think she's fabulous.
She is pretty darn sick, isn't she?
It's quite amazing how like Kate Blanchett she is. Like, what casting that is, right?
Yeah,
very
yeah,
good casting.
She is. Sorry. No, I think she's great. My God, she's. I've got questions about Elrond.
But you mean Ned Stark?
Yeah. Well, I think maybe that's part of the issue as well. It's like, I know you. I know you.
Yeah. You're just. Oh,
and you know, like, I don't know. It's like if you cast Henry Cavill as I don't know, Iron Man. Maybe not like that. But, you know,
hold on.
Crossing over universes, it's like, you don't belong here. You belong in bloody Westeros, don't you? Not Middle Earth.
We look for you on the Trident. Why weren't you protecting your prince? No. Now it ends.
I mean, yeah. He's that guy.
He's right. He's right.
He's that guy.
Yeah, it did feel a bit weird. He is a good actor, though. I quite like him.
He's a very good actor. I like what he's doing at the moment. I think it's something going on in my head where I'm like, he's trying too hard.
That's it. I didn't really like him too much in episode one, but I did in episode two.
Oh, God, I couldn't stand. No, I'm joking. He's doing well. He's doing well.
I think he's growing on me because we're able to
see. He's really growing on me.
Just like that. We're able to see his character sort of unfold a bit more, and we can hopefully see why he is the way that he is.
Why are you the way that you are?
Why are you so weird?
What gives you the right?
So we have this fantastic kind of prologue of Galadriel searching for Sauron.
Ugh.
And the mark of Sauron is there and stuff. Loads of people are talking online about what it may mean, whether it's the eye kind of stuck between two pillars and they're the towers or something like that.
That's what I thought it was. It looked like that.
Yeah, it looked like it, definitely leaning that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
But oh my God, I like that a lot. I like the water thing. I like the fire that came out of it. It all feels very, primal and powerful.
What do we think of the ice troll lads? Frost troll.
The frost troll. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked, because there was something that I had seen, again, fan reaction online. I just need to shut myself off from the world. People were irritated at Galadriel flying through the air.
Running up the sword.
Yeah, but she, exactly that. She ran up the sword and the other elf flung her into the sky.
I loved all that.
And it's like, I mean, come on. If Legolas can skip all over an Oliphant and bring it down single-handed, then this is nothing.
Exactly. If and you see half the things that Legolas does, and Galadriel is incredibly powerful, and we're finally seeing just a slight amount of that, and people are getting angry at it.
And he's supposed to be a brunette, or bloody Legolas.
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah.
Lightning boys, also, there's lightning outside.
Legolas
is angry.
Legolas climbed up
falling like stones. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever... He climbed up falling...
Look,
stones.
Obviously,
so if Galadriel jumps off the sword,
he can walk on snow, and
he could do what?
But that's a lovely bit of lore. Oh, God, I miss the films.
No, to be fair, the snow thing is. I mean, it's in the books, so come on.
Yeah,
he's got a feathery touch. Of course, he can walk up.
Oh, hey, look! Whatever he gets up to in his own time is fine.
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah.
He is so fleet of foot that where they are all hacking their way through the snows on Karathas. He can literally walk
away
over the top. just to pass the time as much as anything else. Generate a bit of warmth, for God's sake. He's just like, I'll tell you what, I'll leave you guys to it. I'm going to go and have a little look over here. And off he pops. Have a little look.
We have that lovely moment. We then meet Elrond.
Elrond, that guy.
He's at the elven capital of Lindon.
Beautiful.
Like an Australian saying London, you may say.
I make you fancy going to London.
We meet the High King, Gil-galad.
That is a stupid name, isn't
it? I feel like his story's already been written in these two bloody episodes. I know what he's going to be up to the end. Come on.
Spoiler alert.
Come on, he bloody knows that Sauron's out there.
Yeah, of course he
bloody does.
He's got a sneaky look about him, old Gil-galad, doesn't he? Or Gil-galad.
Yeah, he's probably bloody... I think he's probably, like, working with Sauron.
Okay. Definitely. I mean, I don't think it's work. No, I mean, come on.
I think he is. Why?
I don't think he's working with him. I think he has been corrupted already.
Oh, okay, right, fine. I was going to, yeah. I think that is probably true.
Oh, yeah. When I say working with, I don't mean like they're both like have a desk together. Like,
they're both selling weed.
I wasn't, like, I'm not suggesting they have like a, you know, joint workspace or something in there.
Like comes into work one day.
Morning.
Hang on, are you? You're bloody son.
Well, you know, yeah, what? Mate, we're all friends here, so, you know, leave that at the door, I say.
You've caught, mate. No, he seems a bit...
He's up to something, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a noble elven king to me. No. He doesn't have that vibe. No. Where's Viserys when you need him?
Exactly. Oh, God.
Where's Paddy? God.
Big Paddy.
We then meet the Half-Foots. Lovely little scene.
Half-Foots!
I love these little feathers so much.
This scene, I thought, was... So you're not supposed to say that anymore, Prank. So,
No, it's okay. They're hobbits. It's fine.
They're not hobbits. Hey,
they're not hobbits.
Are they not?
No.
They're Half-Foots.
I thought that was a type of hobbit.
No. So this is the predecessor. So the twice predecessor to the hobbit.
So why in Lotro can I be a Half-Foot hobbit then?
It's like the heritage of it.
Yeah, it's a heritage of a Half-Foot.
Hang on, let me just check YouTube. Why are there hobbits in the Rings of Power?
So, yeah, Half-Foots, they haven't gone to the Shire yet. They haven't found the Shire. It's way before all of that. So they're just a kind of like a hybrid before the
Prius.
So it goes Half-Foots, then it goes something else.
Then it goes the Stores, and then it becomes hobbits, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So Gollum was a store, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. And yeah, it's them moving, gently moving west, because this is still east of the Misty Mountains, I think.
Yeah.
And then Gollum's folk are by the Anduin, which is the big old river that they all boat down.
But they basically are hobbits, aren't they?
Oh, don't make me go on YouTube, mate, because
sorry.
I swear I can't look at any more video titles.
Okay, well, these guys that aren't hobbits, right?
They are
just
hobbits.
They're Half-Foots.
They are hobbits. Okay.
They're the Half-Foots. That's what they call them.
Hairy feet.
Oh.
They are...
They hate it when you call them that.
I love them.
The okay. Lenny Henrys.
Hobbit or not, I love them.
I also love them. I was eating blackberries during this scene, boys.
That's what I've already said. Kicking off.
And so I was just like...
Hang on, Lucy! Are you looking at the TV?
I was like, I am one of you. Take me into your arms, Lenny Henry.
Loving arms.
Kiss me under the light of 1,000 blackberries.
That's just disgusting. I love the way that they disappear. Obviously, when they hear weeks are coming.
Me?
And and then the way that they can just like flip up their tent and stuff like that.
Their tent.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Canopy.
Yeah, little gazebo thing they got.
Yeah.
Look, I thought that was lovely. And that's a physical set as well. I've seen everything. I've seen the behind the scenes on that. Trust me.
We've got to speak about...
We must speak.
Sir Lenny Henry.
Yeah. To be fair to Lenny, he's doing all right.
He's doing a good job on it.
As a little cameo part.
Didn't even realise it was Lenny Henry for like half an hour. And I was watching. And I was
did
like,
you not me?
He's quite, do you know who Lenny Henry is, don't you?
Yeah, he's the guy in those adverts, isn't he? The Holiday Inn, whoever it is.
Yeah, not the Premier Inn, I must say.
No. He's so done an amazing job. He tomfooleried me.
I very much enjoy it. The Irish accents are an interesting choice.
Yeah, that is interesting. I quite like it, though. I think
it's because they're slowly moving and migrating across Middle Earth.
YouTube has heard about my comments and there is literally a storm brewing outside. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's the migration thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's a clever idea. They wouldn't have that West Country accent.
No, because they're not in the Shire yet.
They're not in the Shire and they won't be for a while. So it's a weird sort of Middle English-Irish hybrid thing. I'm a fan.
And then some of them still retain that Irish accent, though.
Well, yeah, they have a wide varied accents, depending on where they are in the Shire. Yeah, don't worry about that. Only one, really, but that's fine.
Right, sorry. Okay.
He tried other things, and Peter Jackson was like, I'll tell you what, just do whatever you want. I don't care.
I really didn't care, though.
Yeah. I can't get yet another recasting bloody thing going on this film.
And they're such good friends, I can't break it. I'll just forget it.
God.
Mm.
Oh, we'll dub it.
So, dub, dub. So at the same time as all of this, Galadriel returns to Lindon and meets her mate, Ned Stark, and
Galadriel. This is the issue with the language I had here, because he doesn't say his R is so tapped. You know, he goes Galadriel, and it's like, okay, mate, maybe make it sound like you say this all the time, rather than like you're reading it and you're speaking Lord of the Rings speak. You know,
well, the actor is Northern.
Is that an excuse?
That's the excuse for being terrible.
No,
the
but actor is Northern. I feel like because he's Northern, he's trying to push it even more.
Yeah, maybe ultra RP.
Yeah,
he does maybe settle down a bit. I don't know. Galadriel.
Yeah,
I can't even do it. It's difficult.
I know that they're high elves, so they're meant to kind of...
Oh, yeah, they speak the purest version, don't they?
Yeah.
Like so Valyrian.
These are the elves that have been... that were the first to come to Middle-earth.
Yeah.
The high elves don't exist by the time of the Third Age. There's literally, like, four or five of them left.
Yeah.
And all the others have buggered off to Valinor. So they've gone to the Undying Lands and they leave... the wood elves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Slackers. And that's all that's really left. So it's quite interesting to see them. Well, this is way before Elrond is, you know, a bloody dib end with a sword.
Well, yeah, and but just before he's a power at all, he's just some, you know, wisecracking kid.
Some little geek, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But he has killed Arthur Dayne by this point, so that's good.
Good. Yeah.
I can't guarantee it.
But yeah, so it's quite interesting. And then they have a little ceremony where, I mean, pretty much Galadriel is he all right?
I just got that thunder weaked.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that's how long it took to get to me.
Yeah, it's a serious, serious storm going on out there.
I haven't got anything.
How far away are you? Wait till the thunder hits you.
I haven't.
I've got it.
I ain't got any thunder, eh? I'll have to keep it. Keep an ear out for that.
Hey, he is right, because that's how you detect it.
So bloody this High King.
Oh, Gil-galad, what's he up to?
Gil-galad goes,
Gilgamesh.
Oh, look, I'm going to honour you guys because you've succeeded. Sauron is defeated. I'm going to tell everyone that the war is officially over, and as a present, I'm going to send you to Valinor. So pretty much a banishment for Galadriel, because he doesn't like what Galadriel's up to.
He doesn't, does he? He doesn't. He's up to something, all right.
That's why I think they're working together.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah, and you know, sharing rent on business space is very sensible.
If I was Galadriel and I got offered that, says, hey, for all your hard work, I'll
bugger off.
And then you can, you know, go to heaven, I reckon. Yeah? Yeah. All right.
Hang
so
on.
You sure? You
cheers.
Sure? So what, sure. What comment are you...
yeah,
what... You said, if I was Galadriel, and then you've just...
Yeah, I'd be like, well, it's a dodgy deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a dodgy deal.
Oh, yeah, but are you saying Galadriel would say that to him?
Yeah. Sorry, I've got a bit of thunder outside. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay. Don't be afraid of the thunder, Fry. They called you Fry.
Stephen Fry?
You're a Fry? Oh, it's the Stephen Fry effect.
Not again.
It's always going to come in.
I was going to say, is that coming up because of old Lenny? Or has he surpassed it?
Well, at the moment, it's not too bad.
No, I mean,
Fry didn't even know it was Lenny Henry. I mean, my
Stephen
God,
Fry didn't even know it.
Stephen Fry.
oh,
I mean, he
did
doing
his
a
little
job.
Chortle then, didn't he?
So she's then told to bugger off to Valinor. At the same time as this, now we go to the Southlands, where we meet human healer Bronwyn.
Bronwyn Thomas.
A couple of elves. The main elf that we meet is called Arondir. I mean, I don't know about you guys. This kind of gave me World War II kind of vibes.
World War II?
Which specific part of World War II?
It's quite a big war.
Like, just after World War II, where we were kind of... So, just so people know, the Men of the Southlands sided with Morgoth during the war. That is why the elves are still patrolling the Southlands and keeping a watchful eye on the men, because they believe that they still have that darkness inside them. It's almost like when we occupied Germany and we kind of went around and had a mooch at Germany and said, all right, got any Nazis in here, am I?
See, this is what you get with 8 Days a Geek. It's political. Okay, there's a little bit of satire in there as well. Yeah. And a little bit of thunder, too. So.
A little bit of thunder.
Yeah, my God.
I have spoken!
It's really flashing.
My God, the house is like shaking with it.
Yeah.
Okay, right. It's fine. Don't be alarmed. We've got this for the next 4 hours, so... So this is really interesting, right? So the Southlands, obviously, is in Mordor. It's south of Mount Doom.
The land.
Good is
you're on a tightrope here. I'm telling you.
I know. I can tell that I'm getting on your nose. It's slowly winding him up.
But yeah, so this is deep in the heart of enemy territory, you know. And Jenks, I mean, you are absolutely right, Jenks. It is exactly like the occupation of Germany, exactly like that. And it's all just so like, I don't know. It's so suspicious that the elves. That like everything has been called off, like, and they say that the king has declared peace, don't they? And it's like, oh, is that, you know, is that it? That's just it, is it? He just declares peace and that's that. No, that guy,
Gil-galad.
Yeah, very dodge.
Yeah, so they're asked to leave their watchtowers. The elves are
and lovely watchtowers, home. To be fair.
To Lindon,
I made you fancy going. What?
And this bloody elf that we've got to meet, this Arondir, he's a bit, you know, he's a bit tasty on this Bronwyn.
He's a bit of a dish, isn't he?
Oh, he is a bit of a dish. I like the pub confrontation thing. I enjoyed that a lot, where he did absolutely nothing. And they were, you know, because it's obvious that the elves are so powerful at this point that he could have killed every one of them with his little finger.
I mean, he did, when he caught that bartender's fist.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Just
that was
great.
Really, really cool.
Just sort did of effortlessly this, and calmly, you know.
Did this, though, remind you of everything from the first two episodes of The Witcher?
I guess there is some Witcher vibes there. Yeah, definitely.
A little
that
bit.
That was very Witcher, kind of walking through a little village, everyone staring, going into a tavern.
Yeah.
Everyone going.
With a different vibe, though.
Well, I think he does have that sort of Geralt vibe to him, in a sense. He's sort of, do you know what I mean? He's sort of
no
mysterious.
Emotion.
Yeah, no emotion and sort of, you know, that he could batter everyone like weak says. I mean, actually a really cool character.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting that everything we have The Witcher now, we have Game of Thrones and we have this. It's going to be so hard to differentiate kind of each one of them, and I think there's going to be a load of little, how does George Lucas say it, rhyming moments.
Honestly, I'm already confused because we're watching both Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings at the same time. Chris is going to hate this, but because I'm watching them at the same time, I'm getting the storylines and some of the characters mixed up only because I'm watching them together. And so I'm going, okay, so wait, who's the king? Okay, that's not the king.
Who's the king?
Yeah, honestly, it's happening. And it's really difficult, especially with the way that the releases are staggered and our podcast is as well.
Oh, Benjamin.
I know, it's blending into one.
Well, I'm shocked.
I know. I said you wouldn't like it. Did say.
What do you think of that, Chris? What do you say to that? What say you?
What say you? I really like that one of the quotes from the scene in the pub is, one day our true king will return and pry us right out from under your pointy boots.
See, I said I'd get in there.
It's just nice to get a name check, you know, just sometimes. So now we're relevant.
Some recognition.
Yeah, God, Jesus. We've been slaving away for years doing this.
This pod's making a name.
At last.
And he's the one. He's the one that they bring up.
Yeah, him. Amazing. The one who is literally confusing two completely different series.
That's why I'm working lots of fingers, lots of pies, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, but it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I suppose you raise a good point accidentally, obviously, because it's not the point you were making, which was utterly ridiculous. But like, these two things are these two things are running parallel to each other. Mm. And I think it is difficult because in a lot of ways, this is very old-fashioned fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones or whatever the hell it's called, the Takeshi's Dragon Castle. My God.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you?
It's, honestly.
That almost came over your screen.
Yeah, the house is like... Can you hear that?
Yeah, I had it just before you, Weeks, and it was terrifyingly loud.
It's like...
Is it raining?
Yeah.
Is it raining?
Nah, it's sunny out there.
It's like... Look.
I'll have none of that.
It's like it's like... Oh, I don't know. It's obviously not shaking the house, but like I can hear metalwork shaking, so I'm like...
Yeah.
I don't feel safe at this point. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, but no, it's difficult
the
because...
The point that Pryor brought up.
The point that... Oh, but the Rings of Power, not the Rings of Power, the House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones has moved fantasy on to a very modern place.
Mm.
So it's quite difficult to then go back to this.
Differentiate the two, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And especially as House of the Dragon, like maybe if this had come along first, as in literally a week before, then we will be looking at it through a different lens. But we're sort of looking at this through the House of the Dragon Game of Thrones lens because that is the most recent fantasy series. Obviously, forget Game of Thrones later on, but like early Game of Thrones changed the world just in the same way that Lord of the Rings changed the world, but like however many years before, 10 years before. Mm. And now it's like, I don't know. It's not a conclusion or anything like that. It's just, it's just funny that they're there at the same time when they're ostensibly different. Like they seem like they should be the same, but they are very different things from different times, seemingly.
It's interesting to realise that as well, because this is... It's almost like they're speaking even more medieval than the Lord of the Rings films.
Well, I suppose they are because it's so much earlier, right?
Yeah.
Like this is like Dark Age. Well, not even Dark. It's before. It's you know, this is proper Tolkien mythology of England.
Well, yeah. I mean, the prologue even showed Middle Earth before there was a sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool that when Galadriel was... and. Doing the VO, she got the voiceover job for it.
Yeah,
and
I should have had that.
Yeah, before the first sun, I was like, "Oh, that's
you,
so." Well, yeah,
you see awesome. the tree of light and the tree of silver.
Yeah, oh, beautiful.
Which lights up the entire place.
Yeah,
and this is whilst also Middle Earth is still flat for you flat earthers out there, and then slowly is turned into a globe, and the stars are created by the One. And yeah.
Do you believe it now, Trinity?
Well, one thing I will say is having read Lord of the Rings lore and stuff like that, it's quite easy for me to get into this. But for someone that hasn't watched Lord of the Rings,
it's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you could come to this without having, I don't know, at least a passing interest in Lord of the Rings. Yeah, but then this must seem like
difficult
biblical.
Enough if you haven't read the Lord. Read the Lord of the Rings, but also read anything before that. That's already difficult enough. So imagine never watching Lord of the Rings either. Just been like, right, this looks good.
Oh, Amazon's done something great. Love Amazon stuff.
Good.
But I imagine like, there are some people out there that are going.
Just finished Ted 2. Time to move on.
There's probably people out there that are like, do you know what? I'll watch this series. Then if I enjoy the series, then I'll sit down for 12 hours and watch the film and see how it is. Because, I mean, it's a lot quicker to watch than it is the film. So they may choose this first. And obviously,
I suppose it is sort of.
It comes before
it is chronological,
the films.
Yeah.
So people may go, well, I'll just watch this. And if I'm interested, then I'll watch the films.
Yeah, and they come after. So, yeah, you're right. That's it. It does make sense in a way.
And they may be watching and going, what the hell?
But I don't know how many people there are that haven't watched Lord of the Rings but are potentially interested in Lord of the Rings down the line enough to watch this. It seems like a very small amount of people.
And then I would say most people, not most people, but like, you know, Lord of the Rings was a big deal in the cinema world.
Yeah.
And it won so many Academy Awards, etc. And, you know, IMDb, top 250 and all this. So, I mean, well, like top five. But, like most people who consider themselves cinema people will have seen it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's obviously done very well in the ratings. They got like 25 million people overnight or something just from Amazon or from HBO Max or whatever it is that it's streaming on in America. Yeah. So it's done very well in that regard.
I mean, I think it's such a huge event.
It's event TV.
And I think that it would be interesting to see how many people will return next week.
Who will return?
It is going to be so confused because they don't explain what Valinor is.
No.
Really? Or anything like that.
Well,
so
no, they don't.
Like,
you're right, actually. I didn't think about that. I was like, oh, yeah, I know what this is. I know what's going on. Oh, two trees, yeah, lovely. Yeah. But
if people, you know, are just coming into this, even if they have watched the films, like Valinor's mentioned in it. In fact, it's not even, the word Valinor isn't mentioned in the films. It's just the Undying Lands.
Yeah.
This whole thing is very difficult to get into if you don't know anything at all. Like,
yeah.
It's unlike Lord of the Rings where you can just start watching.
Yeah. Well, it's that really medieval fantasy vibe, right, of Lord of the Rings, where you're like, oh, I sort of know what's going on.
This doesn't hold your hand at all. There's no tutorial here.
No.
You just gotta...
It's like level tutorial,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Straight to level 60.
Whereas Game of Thrones did kind of give us that entire first episode of explaining, even though Game of Thrones only came out, what, 2019? They still went to the trouble of...
Hang on.
Game of Thrones came out a long time before 2019.
The final series of 2019.
Oh, fine. Okay, right. Yeah. Yes.
And so people have only been away for a couple of years, and now we're back in Westeros, and they've explained everything, so everyone's kind of up to speed straight away.
But I've seen everything.
I've seen everything. Whereas, yeah, this is a lot different. So
it's Game of Thrones.
Bronwyn's a bit of a healer.
Bronwyn.
And this guy comes around and says...
This is great.
This guy comes around and says, oh, my cow's bloody...
Do you do animals, do you?
This was the weirdest scene.
Nope.
I couldn't have seen this coming. It was the
weirdest
scene.
Don't do cows,
scene.
Mate.
No.
Don't
cows, do cows. No, I do people, obviously. But it's
weirdly done. In law, this is right. This is a thing that happened. It's always the animals that you find out about first if someone's around or kicking off.
Yeah.
It was just the way that it was done was just a bit like,
what did you think about the teat squeezing?
I like this scene very much because of the contrast between Bronwyn and Arendir. You know, she had the faintest idea what she was doing. Obviously, she was all over the place. And yet he was like, oh, yes, let's see what's going on here. They have this natural resonance with the animals, the elves, which was...
Yeah.
No, I liked it a lot. And then, horrible goo coming out.
And the guy's like, what's that that's come out? And I'm like, shut up.
We struck oil.
You've managed to find the one weirdo in this town.
To be fair, they all look a bit
weird. The oil cow.
Yeah. The oil cow. We must breed her. And then, they say the dreaded words, he went too far east. Or she went too far east, I should say. How far east? Very good.
That's cool. That's very cool.
And the place they went to, which is really far east, is Horden.
Michael Horden.
Which isn't really that far east, to be fair.
Far enough, though. Only a day's walk. I mean, it's not that far. Too far for you. All right, mate. We'll leave you here. We'll see you later, all right?
Yeah. It's like going
to
Ipswich.
Pride, we're going to Horden. It's only a day's work.
Nah,
not worth it.
Too far for me.
I'm going to stay here with the kid that looks about 10 years old but has a voice of like a 50-year-old. I'm going to stay with him.
Yeah, you stay with him.
We're natural sprinters.
What did you think of the kid that literally looked about 10 years old but also had the voice of like...
Yeah, he's at that weird age where he's sort of like probably about 16 where they're sort of in between man.
Mother, where are you going?
Hang on. What's going on there?
Jesus, mate.
Hey, there's lots of questions about that boy, aren't there? I've got theories about that boy.
You're not going along with all these bloody theories. Every like man that's in this at the moment, I've seen theory videos of. Well, that's the Witch King.
I think he probably is the Witch King.
Oh, shut up! It's not the Witch King.
It is.
How is he the Witch King?
I didn't think Witch King.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess, but they're focusing on him so much that he's got to be someone.
Oh, he's someone, right?
And of course, he's got the sword and his blood.
It's the right time.
It.
Look, the Witch King. Let me tell. The Witch King is elected from one of the nine.
Yeah.
Right.
They were the nine kings, the nine kings of men. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, though, there are no kings of men.
I know, but who would have let this little twat as a king?
To be fair.
If he is king one day, mate, you're going to have to take that back. Cause that's
would you give him a? Would you give him a ring?
I'll give him a little ring. Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Jesus. What's happened to your voice?
It's me, Ray. I'm back.
Oh, God.
Not again.
This is why you wanted me to be another king.
This is why Pry gets confused. Yeah. Stop Stephen, casting honestly, the same actor in everything.
Stephen Pry is going off this already.
Stephen Pry.
He's kicking off. So they go to Hordem. Oh, it's like the Blitz.
What's going on with these... World War II? That's bizarre.
Have you been watching Band of Brothers?
I'm in a big World War II mood. I'm in a big one.
Not sure what that involves.
But there's no dead bodies.
Unlike World War II.
There were one or two.
The
dream's over.
It's done. But they find dead animals. All the houses are broken and there's tunnels underneath. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Sauron escaped in the tunnels. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the castle that it was, but he escaped in the tunnels and tunneling.
Yeah, honestly, when I think of Sauron going through a tunnel, I think of him like a mole. Like, I mean, scurrying through this fucking tunnel.
I imagine these are just bloody orcs. Not, well, I mean, they are. We see that, one of them's an orc.
Was it Angband?
Oh, yes, it was. In the tunnels and the tombs of Angband.
Angband was his fortress, wasn't it? When Melkor was still knocking about. Or Morgoth, I should say.
Hundreds of miles of tunnels underneath, and he escaped through them. In the darkness.
The deep dark.
Why do they tunnel?
Why?
Yeah.
The orcs? Because they don't like the sun.
Because they need the old clouds over the top, don't they? That's why they're staying underground right now.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Same as the old goblins.
Goblins. Oh.
Lovely little things, aren't they? Goblins.
You're not supposed to call them that. I mean,
sorry. What are they called now?
Just call them hobbits, for God's sake.
Thank you. Finally. Now we can move on.
Are we saying that Ray,
there's always a Ray.
Are you saying that he's found a Morgoth blade? A Morgul blade.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not a Morgul blade because it's pre-Morgul. Pre-Morgul, I suppose. But it's a Sauron-infused blade, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's going to influence him. He's going to get a ring. He's going to live for another
couple of thousand years.
Yeah, but he'll be raised up to the power of the king by Sauron. Because it's never been explained where those dudes came from. So
Nine rings were given to the kings of men.
Yeah, but they could easily have been corrupted before that.
No, but then that makes it annoying, though.
What about Gil-galad? He's already been corrupted. He hasn't got a ring yet. He wants to make rings.
He does.
Like that funny-looking fella, Celebrimbor. My lord, Celebrimbor. Lovely to see you.
Because of how he looks in, like, Shadow of War, and he's, like, badass.
Yeah.
And, like...
Okay, yeah.
Just seeing him here looking like a character from, like...
This sweet old librarian.
Toaster London.
Yeah.
It just looked a bit weird, like a Mighty Boosh kind of character.
I think it's also the voice actor in Shadow of War is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's so good. Yeah, I want him to sound like that big, booming like kind of... But instead, we've seen a guy that's like kicking off about his hammer that he made.
That is a pretty cool hammer, to be fair.
I mean, he does use it in Shadow of War.
Mm-hmm. So I'd buy it. I'd have it on my desk. If only I had a desk. I have a kitchen table I could keep it on.
The old days. So at the same time of all of this happening...
There's an awful lot going on, isn't there?
Awful lot going on. Too much, some people may say.
Well, let me check YouTube. Why is there so much stuff going on?
So Galadriel is on the ship to the Undying Lands of Valinor. And bloody hell, she's having a few bloody debts. Whilst this is going on, we see two curious Harfoots, Nori and Poppy. Oh, also, whilst they're picking for blackberries, we see a warg.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is quite cool.
A warg.
Send out your work, writers.
They maybe a little different, how do you say, design? But then again, this is a long time.
Well, this before. Is it. Is it an earlier, like, stage of evolution?
Yeah.
Because they are more... My God, who's that on the balcony? Who is it?
Yeah, by the way, guys, they're not wargs, okay? You can't call them that. They're the iteration before that. So
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he's right. The Warfoots.
Yeah, these are Warfoots,
yeah.
Okay?
No, okay, so, fine, yeah. They're very sensitive.
We not try and do that again.
Oh, they just call them wolves, don't they?
Yeah.
Shows what they know, eh?
We'll go with them. So then suddenly this meteor comes across the sky.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking at it. Did you like the little ants?
Oh, yeah.
I loved the ants. I thought, wicked way of showing the ants, but in, again, not a ridiculous way, but just a little... Looking over, lovely.
It reminded me of like the Star Wars celebration at the end of Return of the Jedi, where you see all the different planets, and this you kind of saw different parts of Middle Earth.
Jub.
Yeah. All seeing the same thing.
Anyway,
go into Linden,
and then this meteor crashes and. Bloody hell, there's a man in the middle of it, and Poppy and Nori say, oh, the heat's cold. Now, that's obviously a reference to Galadriel saying, oh, it's so evil, the fire isn't giving off any heat.
The heat is on in Sargon.
So...
is there a war going on?
Didn't expect to hear that. so this guy has landed in this bloody meteor.
A naked... middle-aged man.
Naked rambler.
Yes.
On his way.
Yeah, now, you know.
I wonder. I want to see who here thinks it is Gandalf.
I do not think it's Gandalf.
Yeah, that was my first thought when I first saw him. And then since just as things unfolded, I thought, this can't be Gandalf, can it? Because... I also looked online and apparently Gandalf isn't meant to have arrived for quite some time either.
No.
And he arrives from sea.
But then again, he could have come secretly before. You never know. That could be an extra thing.
We also know that they lose most of their memories as well when they're reborn.
The wizards do, and they have to learn everything new and slowly. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's true.
But there are a couple of things that do point towards it being Gandalf, which obviously the fire... He's got a strong association with fire.
Yeah.
Little scribings.
And that's enhanced when he comes again because he gets Arya Stark. She joins forces with him and he wears her on his finger and don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm. But
that's the fire ring. And also the G rune seems to be there, Gandalf's G rune. I was like, that's interesting. That was that he carved into the wood later in the... It was in the second episode.
Have you heard people say that it could be... Because there is a Balrog that's going to be in this series.
Balrog, yes, of course.
That it could be a Balrog in human form.
Oh, interesting. That's going to get... I mean, the fire would make sense with that.
That would be really cool to see, actually. I didn't even think about that.
There's a lot of them around at this point.
Oh, they're knocking about all over the shop.
There's a lot of them. Well, Morgoth used Balrogs in his army.
Could it also be one of those blue wizards?
Well, yeah, this is the other thing.
Yeah.
Alatar and Palando. Very interesting.
Lando.
Lando Calrissian.
Well, the two blue wizards are meant to have disappeared into, I can't remember, was the west or the east?
It was the east.
The east, and never to be seen again.
Which would sort of make sense, wouldn't it, with where we're set?
Mm.
You know, because they're in the north... But they're in like the northeast, I suppose. You know, Newcastle-ish. Yeah. And if they end up going very Newcastle, if they end up going down Mordor way, down Mexico.
Are you going down Mordor way tonight?
Oh, give us a lift, would you?
Nah, I'm going to Linden, mate. Sorry.
Oh, don't let me stop you.
You go down Mordor if you want to.
No, it's all kicking off in the east, though. Look at that cow. Oil everywhere.
Don't go east, and they went east.
Yep.
I go west,
young man.
I want to see a bit of a bit of Haradin.
So, Jenks, your mic is very quiet.
Yeah, it's all right.
We're singing and all stuff.
I want to see some Haradin going on here.
I want to see some Haradin.
If we're Aladdin. In the bloody East.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see some Haradin. I want to see some elephants.
Well, yeah. What's so, yeah.
We're in the bloody East.
Yeah, we are. But in what time period do the Haradrim and the Haradrim from the South and the Corsairs of Umbar and all that?
Well, they mention the Corsairs.
Yeah. That's interesting,
there
isn't
are,
it?
There are Corsair ships.
Yeah, with the black sails. But
the
that's
black sails going on, so that's
but they're out in the sea rather than south like Dol Amroth.
That's where ships usually hang out, you know
Down
what I'm saying?
Way. No, they've got they're on the river, aren't they? And you know, the river that flows up the Pelennor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't quite play. I had a lot of this during the show. I was like, hang on. So we're in the Southlands. So we're in Mordor. Doesn't look like
so
Mordor. Okay.
In
hang on, Cornwall, Birmingham.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I imagine we're not going to go anywhere near any of the places that we have seen in Lord of the Rings.
Well, there's
yet.
Nothing really there, is there?
Well, there is. I mean, the Northmen migrate down to Rohan.
Oh,
that's kind of what they do. The Southmen. I don't really know. Do they become Gondorian, or
I suppose they do, yeah. They do. But then the Gondorians are really Numenoreans, so they haven't arrived yet. They're about to come everywhere. Yeah.
See, exactly.
Sorry.
So what are like? Yeah,
it's they are about, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, we don't have any kings yet. There aren't any kings of men kicking off, which
no,
it kind of sets up everything.
But they are alive.
The inevitable battle.
They just aren't on Middle Earth.
Yeah. So it's interesting, isn't it, to see...
It's a tricky period of history. Looking at the map here, Harad is to the south even of Mordor, so it's further south than we are going, like quite a lot further south. It's, Mordor is surrounded by the Black Mountains.
The mountains, yeah.
And, it's a long way down. It's the long way down with Ewan McGregor.
I think it's going to be quite interesting. That's what I'm kind of trying to get to
just really get to used to it, you know.
But anyway, that's the end of that first episode. So let's go straight.
Whoa! She jumps into the water.
Oh yeah, she jumps in the water because she chooses a Krukat's brother's blade and jumps into the water.
That guy doesn't have a Krukat. Come on.
We see the clouds open up and they're about to go into Valinor, the Undying Lands, and completely disappear, which some of them do.
And he says, Adrian.
Adrian. I will say, I'm so glad they didn't show us any of the Undying Lands. I was
I like that there was
myself,
a little
don't
hint.
Don't show us.
Like there was a little hint based on what Gandalf says.
White shorts.
And beyond.
And beyond. Should have been Michael Caine.
Master Bruce. Started off Sean Connery.
Yeah. White shoes.
It really took a trip, that one.
Went to Caine after that. It was very strange.
White shoes. This is not the end. That death is just a part of life. Yeah. No. One that we all must take. Master Bruce.
What would you do if we saw Caine as Gandalf in this eventually?
I would.
In this?
In this.
Jesus Christ. The casting someone much ever. Older than Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
All right, my dear boy.
So, hang on.
How's it going?
My name's Gandalf. What's your name? Yes. Right, let's get into the old dinkles here. Mm. Let's make this one quick, eh?
Because we've got this one.
Yeah, honestly, I've got sort of 10 minutes. Let's go.
You mad?
Fine. I'm gonna be honest, guys. I'm gonna go with a 3.5 on this.
Oh, toughy.
That is tough, actually.
It didn't rock my world and it didn't offend me. There was just moments of greatness and moments of ness. Prior, I'm going to go to you, sir.
Yeah, I'm going for 3.5 also.
Oh!
Yeah. It was very good, but I also felt, from my perspective, I didn't know enough and I had to do lots of research in order to bring myself up to speed. And I think that a lot of people might be in the same boat as me.
Yeah, I think
you're right. Not going to Valinor. And I think for that reason, it was really difficult. Thanks, James. Really difficult for me to connect with the characters and connect with where we are in the story. But I'm sort of getting up to speed with it, but I don't know whether that's just because of the things that I've read. And so, it's 3.5. It's good.
Interesting. Interesting. Chris,
I'm going to go for
5.
I'm going to go for a 5 and a bit. No, I think it's a 4, for me, because I'm delighted to be back in this world. I had a couple of issues with it. It definitely feels like a setting up thing. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing a lot of setting up. There's an awful lot to like unpack in there, but it does feel very rich, I suppose. That's what I like. It does feel quite authentic, why are these elves' hairs short? But aside from that, travesty. It does feel like Middle Earth an awful lot. I just want them to sort of relax a little bit with it, I suppose. But then the Harfoots, I was utterly charmed. I was like, this is exactly what I remember. And the innocence of that is something that I really like. But yeah, I think it's in a difficult tussle with Game of Thrones, because the people who grew up with Lord of the Rings are into Game of Thrones because they have matured and because they're, looking for more adult themes. And all of a sudden we're going back into Old Testament land, It's like, oh, okay. But yeah, Big Fours. You've heard of the Big Four, I assume.
So what, that's 3.5, 3.5 and a 4.
Yeah.
It's an all right start. It's not
what,
a, it's
what
not
did we give House of the Dragon
wanted.
Out of interest? What do you think?
I think...
Was it four? Four and a halves or fours?
I think I gave it a 4.5.
I think I did as well.
And I was 4.
The problem
is with this...
It's tough competition, isn't it?
It's really difficult.
It's really difficult because they're sort of damned if they do and damned if they don't, because they're going to upset some people.
Yeah.
Either way. Mm. It's like the diehard Lord of the Rings fans are probably like, this is really awesome. This is exactly what we've wanted. But, I mean, I feel they're sort of expecting us to know too much.
And maybe
that's rocky ground.
Well, you can't make a $500 million plus series for the super fans who know the lore unbelievably well. Like, that is insane.
Yeah,
what is Bezos up to?
I mean, it kind of feels a bit like that, though.
It does a little bit. I don't know, but then I think that, like, from what I've read, they do this sort of setup stuff for a few episodes to establish it. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of kicks off, because obviously there's an awful lot that has to happen.
Yeah.
Within like the lifetime of, because Elendil is alive, Isildur is alive, and they, even though they have long lives of 180 years or whatever,
yeah,
they like the rings have to be forged. Sauron has to come back. There has to be a massive, like, it needs to get going, really.
So what you're saying is that this story can only last 180 years.
Yeah.
What?
So sure. Strap in, boys.
A real short moment in time, this. I mean, technically it is, actually, but there we go. Anyway. So, episode 2, Adrift.
Adrift of the Clones.
Bloody Galadriel is swimming back to Middle-earth.
She's a good swimmer, isn't she?
Gotta give it to her. She comes across a raft with human survivors of a shipwreck.
Mm.
Which, this one woman seems, well up for getting Galadriel. Yeah. Other guys are a bit moody, aren't they?
They really are. I'm not a huge fan of these guys at all.
Until they find out she's an elf.
Someone like Galadriel came up to the raft, but come on, get her on.
Yeah, that's it. You chuck Kate Winslet off, you'd be like, yeah, get on, love.
Yeah.
You're safe.
I push all the others off. I'm like,
yeah. No. Save Leo, obviously, but...
Oh, yeah.
There's always room for Leo.
True. But they get attacked by a sea creature, which is quite cool. It's in the map.
Yeah, that thing, the sea worm or whatever they call it, the sea worm, sea worm, the sea snake. No, that's crossing over to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
We can't.
Oh, yeah,
so complicated.
Told you this.
Ooh.
From the get go.
But yeah, that's all kicking off.
What's the name of the sea again, Chris? Because it's on the map. It's really interesting.
Name of the sea.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure, mate.
They have a name on the map, don't they? Where the sea snake is, worm.
Not the sea snake. Let's have a look. We probably do know deep in our hearts.
Begins with a D, I think.
Oh, not the Bay of Belfast, no. Sea monster, sea name. Let's have a look. The Watcher in the Water. No, for goodness sake.
We've done this.
We what are the watchers scene? In the water.
The Sea of Run? No. I don't know. I'm going to find out. Carry on.
Okay, yeah. But it might be a nothing point, but anyway.
It might be everything.
Where are we, James?
So
in the sea, we don't know which one.
Right. This sea worm, I think Tolkien said it's just a sea dragon, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a sea dragon. That's his vibe.
It's
so
a sea dragon.
I loved this filming. Reminded me very much of the Kraken in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. It has to be said that this feels very, like a lot of people have said it feels very cinematic and filmic, right? In terms of scale. Like Game of Thrones, or whatever the bloody hell it's called, feels quite big, but this feels like colossal. Bigger. Much, much bigger.
I mean, I'd agree until I watched that last episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh, do you think so? And that didn't make me feel much different.
What, and saw that bloody...
Well, they were in the woods and then they were on that little
that final
quarry.
Battle.
Boys, we're not talking about that.
That was
bloody hell.
That was 1980s Doctor Who. No offence to that.
Oh, you can... just because everything's set in a quarry.
Yeah, I just wanted to back up that point, really.
All of Wales is a quarry.
It could be called Echaia. That's the sea around Valinor.
That's what I was thinking of, mate.
No, it's Ushuaia. It's the southernmost city in Argentina.
Yeah. There you go. We'll go.
Don't worry,
that.
Mate.
Ewan McGregor drove through there on his bike.
Yeah.
So then she carries on swimming and
she loves
that,
a good swim.
This guy called Halbrand, who is also now being connected to the Witch King and all this kind of stuff.
Not Halbrand.
He seems quite an interesting intellectual. He tells Galadriel that orcs drove him from his lands in the Southlands.
Yeah.
Which is what we're seeing happening at the same time with Bronwyn.
Bronwyn Thomas.
And her son, Ray.
Yeah.
And...
shut up!
So that kind of gives her a definite proof that the darkness is back. Whether it's definitely Sauron, who knows, but she knows that orcs are returning to Middle-earth.
Yeah, the orcs, the secretive orcs. Yeah, I don't know, Halbrand. There are a lot of Witch King theories floating around. Maybe one of them is the Witch King and one of them is the second-in-command, whatever his name is. I can't remember.
Weeks, it's just the Sundering Seas, which is a nickname.
Oh, the Sundering Seas. Very good, Pro.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Just a nickname for
the sea towards Valinor.
Yeah, just the great...
Over that way. The greater good.
Atlante,
eh?
No, Atalante.
Hey man, you ever heard of Atalante?
Atalante.
But yeah, that's a little fun thing. And I saw that on, I don't know where I saw that, but yeah, that's where it is.
Very good.
Well, there we go, eh? There we go. It is what it is, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is at the end of the day.
Well, yeah. If we're really going to get into the nitty gritty, then it is, yeah.
Carmel, that's who I'm talking about.
Hold on. We're getting this storm now as well.
Yeah, it's finished here now, thank God. The house is still intact,
my God.
Just about.
I'm not noting the thunder, but my wonderful girlfriend has just come in and said that it's kicking off outside.
Have you got a girlfriend, mate?
Don't do that! No! That's all going on. And at the amount of times I'm going to have to say at the same time as this, Nori and Poppy are keeping this stranger secret from the other half-foots. And she makes a little shelter for him and stuff like that.
I like
they
the
don't speak bloody
bit.
English. Oh yeah, the wheelbarrow bit was humorous, wasn't it?
That was charming.
Do you guys have a little giggle of?
I had that sort of thing when she said, "Doesn't belong to me." I was like, "That's Hobbit cheek, that."
Yeah,
I can see it.
Typical.
Very Merry and Pippin. We'll overdub that. Don't worry, it's fine.
Scoundrels. Well, they've been running in the farm as well. Not Farmer Maggot yet.
Not Farmer Maggot.
You've been in a farm, your maggots crops. but yeah, they are quite cheeky, these old half-foots.
Is that what it was like for you growing up, Jenks?
In which bit of the land?
The farmers getting angry at you for...
That's what I was doing
scrumping?
In Cornwall.
Yeah.
I once did that in Spain.
No, we don't care. We want to know about Cornwall.
Let me tell you about Spain.
Spain's a different country.
I once, whilst I was in Spain, I ran into these pomegranate farms, mangroves. I don't know what you call them here. Over here,
oh, don't know the sort of thing. The bloody mangroves.
And stole all of these pomegranates and put them in a bag. I must have been about 12, and came home and I went to mum and dad. I went, I've got all these pomegranates. and they're mine.
Your parents, your parents must have just been like, why do we have this kid?
Well, yeah. It was hard for them. Horrible child.
They loved pomegranates. Right. And there I was back in my little, in my room in the villa, just munching away pomegranate
after pomegranate. I can't believe your parents let you find some random pomegranates out in the wilderness of
Spain. Random, mate. Yeah. Not random.
He can eat them.
But he farmed them.
What if this guy was farming pesticide them? And other things?
They, when he made that sort of like, these are mine, they're probably like, well, I hope they're covered in poison. Because it would serve you right, you little shit. Yeah, that's what I would be like as a father. Obviously.
I had a bloody addiction to pomegranates.
What?
Yeah, because they were covered in other sorts of narcotics.
Yeah, probably were. Yeah.
It was not the pomegranates he was addicted to.
Why is he shaking? He needs them seeds.
He loves them, doesn't he? Oh, wow.
Bring me the mother now. How did we get onto that?
Stealing hobbits. Hobbits stealing. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. No, I've never stolen hobbits. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, they seem quite fun and cheeky. What's also going on? Oh, okay. So now we meet Calogrimb. Never pronounce his name.
Calabrimbo.
Calabrimbo.
My lord, Calabrimbo.
And Elrond is being sent to him to assist in him making... We don't really know yet.
No, we don't.
He's
well, he wants to make a
starstruck as well, isn't he?
Well, he is. He says, oh, the finest elven craft or whatever he says. I can't remember.
Vendor. And the king goes, all right, mate, get off with him or something.
Christ. Yeah, God, he's just here, isn't he?
Get a room.
But he... Celebrimbor.
Oh.
Celebrimbor. Has
oh, Celebrimbor, Celebrimbor, we love you.
I should have done a little dance, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I'd challenge you. Never going to forget now.
But he's asked for loads of men to help him. I need loads of men.
Oh, what are you doing? I can't tell you, but I need lots of men. Can I send you this one attractive boy?
I want to make some rings for men.
Yes. Send me this boy.
Could the women help out?
No.
Just men.
I need men.
Bring them to me now. But yeah, he wants load of men.
Don't we all?
He's planning on building this great new forge to make whatever he wants to make. Now we know he's making the nine rings for the men, the seven rings for the dwarven lords. Dwarven kings, and the three for the elves, and then he gets seduced in making the one ring for Sam.
By all those men.
We know this story, so why are they showing it to us?
What do you mean, what they haven't shown is a thing?
Well, we know what happens.
Hang on. So the show is called The Rings of Power, and the last thing you want to see is things to do with the Rings of Power. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
What do you want to see? The Blackberry stuff? Oh, come on.
The Blackberries of Power. Every time like that kicks off and it says The Rings of Power, I'm like, I know this story.
I can't believe
we find
you have
out in like a
this.
2 minute prologue.
I knew the story of The Lord of the Rings before I saw The Lord of the Rings, and I wasn't disappointed when they told
Why'd
the story
you enjoy
of The Lord
it?
Of the Rings.
You know it.
Do you only enjoy things if you have no idea what you're going into?
No, I'm joking. It's more that we kind of got the side quest of Elrond going to dwarfs.
Well,
and then he says, give me a few days and I'll sort this out for you. And he's like, you bugger back off. And like, I thought he was going to say, oh, you wait here, give me a couple of hours, I'll sort it. And then he says a few days. And I kind of felt like Celebrimbor's like, ooh, kind of... His kind of his great sigh of, oh, here we go.
Well, also, listen, like, he's
I
in the
no
mountains.
Issue with this.
I just want to
where am
this
I going to go? let's go the old Premier Inn just around the corner, shall I? Of Khazad Dûm.
If this is a side quest, then this side quest gave us some of the best visuals and story aid that we needed.
Yeah, but let's talk about another YouTube video that's probably been made as well.
Oh, yeah.
Where are the women's boots?
Durin's wife, his lady.
Just say it like that.
Sorry.
Durin's wife.
She had some sideburns and a bit of chest hair as well.
Well, apparently they do show the beards. I watched an interview with that actress talking about how the beard was itchy and all this kind of stuff.
Actress.
But I've seen so many videos of so many like like mid-30s guys just kicking off about like the dwarven women not having beards.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And it's just like, it's all right. It's okay.
It is. It's a bit crackers because maybe they don't, you know, maybe it comes down to the individual dwarf as well it should.
Yeah. What did we think of being back in Khazad-dûm?
Oh, I mean, awesome. Wonderful.
Stunning, isn't it?
We actually get to see it in its full glory, in its heyday.
And Elrond is so amazed by it, which is why I really like, he this was a great bit of acting from him. Because presumably they didn't build Khazad-dûm. So he's looking at a green screen and I was like, yeah, fair play. Fair play. I completely buy that he is staggered by what he's seeing.
And also we get to meet Durin.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
This is Durin the Third that they believe was the reincarnation of Durin the First.
Yeah. And his dad is Durin the Second, isn't he?
Yeah. Very interesting, the dwarves, but that's how they are.
This felt like all the dwarves we've ever known.
Yeah.
Which I found very comforting. It was like, dwarf society doesn't actually change at all.
Yeah.
Really?
They were perfect. And this was such a treat to see. As you boys know, I'm a big dwarf fan.
Well, yes. I think they are. You've based your entire height around it.
Exactly. I do try. They are wicked. And I even, much to the sort of hatred of Weeks, I did enjoy...
Hold on.
I did enjoy The Hobbit. And mostly because I love seeing things with the dwarves. I saw that James horrible stuff.
Jeez!
What's going on out there?
There's a storm in an elf!
Yeah.
That's not my calm. She's going to get sucked off in a minute.
Wait, sorry,
You were in this thunder?
No, I couldn't hear that. You need to turn up that mic, mate, I've told you.
Yeah.
That was crazy. What were you saying? That Weeks hates what?
Oh, he just hates me, then the...
No!
So anyway, so it was a real treat to see the dwarves in this way, and especially in Khazad-dûm as well, and the little sort of competition contest that we get between Elrond and Durin was awesome. I mean, there's nothing more dwarven than a rock-breaking competition.
Yeah, amazing.
And the way that it's done is, the filming of it is incredible as well. Mm. Really got to think about that. And I loved it. And they're all sort of chanting in unison like dwarves do. You know what they're like.
Yeah. Go on. Any excuse.
Durin. Durin. Durin.
I like the masks as well that they wear, the armoured masks. Very cool. And like, it goes around their beard.
What do you think of Elrond knocking on the door and then him just going, go away? I was like,
I mean, it's pure Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
It is.
And I was a big fan of that.
This is Durin the Fourth, actually, Jenks. This is the next one down.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, as it turns out.
But they believe that this Durin is the reincarnation.
I think it's this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and also there's the gatekeeper, the guard guy, says that Durin's decision has already been rendered. And I thought, what a poetic way of saying that someone's made up their mind. Like, this sort of, the wording that they use is awesome.
And very dwarven as well. You know, rendered is something obviously that they do in their crafting.
I think this gave a few dinkles just seeing this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And also, to be fair, the script between Durin and his
wife, like their relationship a lot.
And all of them.
I told you not to wear my head.
I think, it's just classic dwarf kind of stuff. It's lovely to see, especially when they go on their kind of dwarven elevator.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
So good.
When he says, has it only been 20 years? It's just like, oh, the classic arrogance of the elves. They really don't understand. And I love that.
No, I like that as well. And the reality of Durin being like, you've missed all of these things in my life.
It may have been a lifetime for you.
No, it may have been 20 years to you, a minute to you.
Yeah. I mean, it was just fabulous.
You got there in the ending.
I got married. You didn't come to my wedding.
He does a good dwarf though, doesn't he?
It's good. This is good.
I told you, I studied them.
This is good.
I caught them and studied them.
Did we love the meal scene as well? The sapling, the tree.
Oh, Jesus. My God.
That is gorgeous, to the sentiment of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Not the lightning and the thunder. I mean,
is it still kicking off where you guys are?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
We get it before you because there's sort of like a haze, a delay. Fog over London.
It's the internet. It's the delay. But yeah, this was all absolutely fantastic and I loved every bloody part of it.
My definitely one of my favourite scenes.
Texted me saying, I think it's the end of the world.
I was glad to say that earlier.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about Durin being a little bit whipped by his missus as well?
Yeah, great.
She's the bot, absolutely.
100%.
And then he's like, sit down. He's like, what?
I love her character. Anyway, I think she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe her as like a dwarven princess. Bride,
queen, isn't she? Oh no, she is princess.
She's princess, isn't she?
It's just like, she carries a natural power and like, brilliant. Mm. But in a very, and light also, sort of way.
Elrond sort of letting Durin win as well is another really interesting thing because he knows that dwarven pride means so much more than anything, and also his friendship between them. He knows that that's the only way he can progress is if he.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like the drinking contest between them.
Oh yeah, Legolas and Gimli.
Yeah,
I feel something. A tingle. At the end of my finger.
So it's a drinking contest.
It's the dwarves that go swimming.
Yeah, I think this was fantastic. At the same time, we have Beverly has come back, whatever her name is.
Bronwyn.
Bronwyn, that's it. Bronwyn's come back. I tried to warn everyone. They laugh in her face. Stupid woman. Spouting out all this rubbish. That was
classic.
That was a bit annoying.
That was.
I won't lie. That was just like...
Yeah, so the village has been destroyed. What more do you want?
Yeah. We need proof. Just walk for a day. I bet they're all priors there in that pub. Nah.
They're like, how far? No.
Not if it's that. East, definitely not.
No, Jesus Christ.
Struck oil!
Little Ray, in the previous episode, has said, I can't sleep because the mice are going mental underneath me.
And she says she heard nothing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He can hear the orcs and she can't.
Yeah. Oh, so what are you saying, that they're after him?
No, I'm saying that he has got some dark side perception. He's a Sith Lord.
Well, he's able to communicate.
Yeah.
Through scratches.
In some way.
Something like that.
We don't know that what he's hearing is real. You know, he's actually there or not. It might be in his mind.
Well, I mean, he does turn up later. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. There are orcs about, just to be clear.
No. I know that. I mean, that it's, he can sense them in his head. Mm, perhaps like dreaming, nightmare. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, or premonitions or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe so if he was a sorcerer.
Supreme.
He is the son of a healer, so maybe.
And of who else? We don't know. Who's the father?
Wong.
Is it Aaron, dear?
Wong.
Yeah.
Sorcerer Supreme, mate. Wong.
It does feel a bit Wongish, to be fair.
Very Wongy.
So then he starts smashing up the floorboards. Because he's lost it. He's lost his mind. These
Would
bloody
you
mice.
Shut up down there!
Sorry, it's delayed from me.
He's completely lost his mind at these mice. They're rotting his head. So he smashes up and then he sees an eye. Look up. Bloody big mice, if you ask me. And then Beverly Bronwyn comes back.
Oh, Bronwyn.
Ray, where are you?
I'm in here.
And Ray's hiding in this tiny cupboard.
Get in.
Yeah.
And then he tells her to run.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll just stay here probably.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Ben Pryor, isn't it? It's like, how far? No, I'm staying here.
This was weird, even
obviously,
for Pryor.
Obviously, his mother's going to go, well, I'm not going to leave you here.
The thing is she absolutely was going to leave him. And then she looked outside and was like, I can't make it. Get in the wardrobe.
Get in the wardrobe. The classic wardrobe.
Oh, get in the wardrobe.
It's so horror film.
Slasher vibes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like the terror that the orcs inspire. I think that's really good. Because we see orcs through the eyes of like Aragorn, where he's like, oh, these are nothing to me,
Yeah, battering them.
Yeah. Eh?
Sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely battering them, doing them down, smashing them.
Didn't want to go there.
Giving them a good hiding.
Good hiding. Okay. He does a good job, old Ray, though, doesn't he? Of well, he starts to do a good job with the old noose, and then
I like that. That was a clever little idea.
Yeah, very that was clever. Good,
and it was very well executed.
It was
until. Slip free.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. What do you think of this this orc then, boys? In terms of design and impact.
Brilliant, yeah.
I'm fine with it.
That's how an orc should look to me.
Yeah. It did feel like a proper orc, didn't it?
There's also different orcs. I mean, it's lovely not to see a CGI, beautiful, pristine. I mean, obviously these aren't Uruks, they're orcs. So
yeah, they're proper orcs.
They're going to look different, but like...
There's no Lurtz there. No,
it was lovely. We need someone like Lurtz in this.
Oh yeah,
he'd shake up the world. But I enjoyed the design. What do you think, Chris?
Chris,
what do you think about my orc?
Yeah, send me a dozen strong men.
Do you need any women, Professor?
Maybe not this time. I think we'll stick with the men. We'll see, I suppose.
You know. We'll just send you Elrond. What do you think of that?
Which one's Elrond? Is he that little boy over there? yes, no, send him my way. I'll put him to good use. You're there, boy. You're going to grow your hair. Why is this orc? I know. What is he?
Bloody better.
Why has this elf got shot hair?
Well, yeah, so then they cut off the orc's head, and then it proves to everyone that the orcs are back and everything's kicking off, and they start to leave. But just before
he's
they leave,
back.
Ray,
he's back.
Ray back. Picks up this sword, and it's the blood is slowly pushing up to the blade, and the blade starts forming through fire.
And the mother goes, "Ray, where are you?" And he goes, "Coming, mother." And then runs out through the window. Then,
"Coming, mother.
Mother, I've got something way. To show you.
Show me.
I must take my bicycle, mother."
That'd be so good if he just hops on a little bicycle.
Coming.
I've invented this bicycle, mother. Isn't it terrific?
You look a fool, don't you, mother, on your tricycle? Two wheels here, mother.
Wheel.
I have thoughts on a unit anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
But yeah, he buggers off. But what do we think of the sword forming from the blood?
All I was thinking is, how's he going to conceal that? Because it's a little diddy sort of dagger size while it's broken. But as it repairs itself, how's he going to sheath that without anyone knowing?
Is it done with his blood?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? It was from the wound from the orc.
Yeah.
That he put on his, was it on his hand? Mm. And now look, where did this sword come from? I know he found it in like a barn under some floorboards.
This is
whose was it?
So confusing. They mentioned a name of some old dude that owns this barn.
Yeah.
Did they say a name?
They did, I think. And they said that he's got all sorts of treasure in here. I saw it. Saw it before. And they come in here. Mm. And he says, I would have missed it if it weren't for something or other.
Yeah.
To and then me, says, this is the real treasure.
Yeah. Why would they consider that real treasure, though? Because surely they don't know what that is.
Exactly. I mean, you'd think it was just an old crappy sword.
Yeah. I'm just looking it up now.
I really understand what is going on.
It's, yeah, very strange.
In this whole bloody
thing. Goodness me. It's all very, very deep Tolkien lore, what's being suggested, what this sword is. That alarms me a little bit. You know, it could be cool.
Well, all that does is it shows you that people are absolutely clueless and trying to dig to the depths of Tolkien's lore to try and find out what it is.
I think that's the thing, though, is that a lot of people are using just the three films as reference. Maybe The Hobbit as reference as well.
Yeah, and I think using The Hobbit as reference.
Well, right? Yeah. And I think when we do get answers of what's going on, I think everyone's going to go, okay. Yeah. Unless you're someone that has read up on all of this.
Yeah. And like you really know your stuff. But like the oozing the blackness of that sword then makes me think of the leaf that fell in Lindon that Gil-galad picked up and it was all black on the other side. Do you remember that? Like in Stranger Things. It's like, it's all going on, you know, boys. It's all going on.
Well, that's what makes me think that this the man with no name thing is...
Oh, the stranger. Well, we haven't even talked about him in this episode.
Well, yeah, so let's get on to the stranger, shall we?
The stranger.
I think that's all we've got to talk about in this episode now.
That's all we've got time for.
So
he starts talking and sort of screaming.
Oh, in gibberish.
Nonsense.
Yeah, he's got such powers with his voice. Unbridled power, knocking her about.
As much as I find the stranger interesting, but how beautiful were the lanterns filled with
fireflies.
Yeah.
So nice. And that they explained it in that way.
I believe your eyes. I wanted him to turn around. I'd like to make myself believe. Just picks both lanterns up. The planet Earth.
That middle earth stuff.
I mean, yeah, I love these lanterns. I want a bloody lantern full of fireflies.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? It was a simpler time.
But yeah, he's kicking off. He's having a shout. He's bending the trees forward. And
he's very suspicious of their intentions. Mm. And who can blame him?
He's like a dog backed into a corner, isn't he?
Hold on.
Is he? Is he like that?
He's dogged backed. He's dog.
It started off weak and it just crumbled from there. Really.
He's gone being dog backed.
He certainly has.
Someone one of them dog backed him backed in dog backed in corner
in Timbuktu.
One of them.
Oh, don't get me started.
Poor bloke, isn't he? Yes. Anyway,
that's what they're like, isn't it?
But he can only say two words. He can only say mana and ure.
He can only say hodor.
Hodor.
Now the translation though is what is it?
It's man. What is heat?
Yeah,
which is interesting because that's one of the first things that she said that flames were producing no heat. Mm. So what is going on here? What is going on, boys?
This person has no idea about anything.
This is why people
got no idea about anything.
I understand why people are pushing the old Gandalf line because he bloody loved a bit of fire.
God, didn't he?
He spoke to the what's Pry doing?
Oh no, my chocolates are melted. Oh, I told you I needed that fan on, you bloody idiots.
What chocolate you got there?
You bloody idiots.
What's that? Rolo?
Misshaped. Oh,
yeah. You did say.
Hang on.
You
I've just
say.
Got to double check that my
Jink found that so funny he froze like this.
But I understand why people are saying that he's Gandalf.
Yes.
I get the theory. He can speak to just like how he spoke to the moth.
Yeah, it's all, but it's just wizard-like, I think, rather than
wizard.
So are you? Let's say it now. What are our predictions for the stranger?
I think he is a blue wizard.
Mm,
that's what I think. I think
that was my
definitely
guess as well.
And because of the way that they've gone, like the depth of lore, I don't think they would balk at bringing him. Two of the wizards, and they are referenced in Lord of the Rings, you know.
Yeah.
The Watch of the Five Wizards!
I think somehow Palpatine has returned.
Yeah. Now that really would be a turn up.
I've just got a feeling.
It wouldn't surprise me.
it just gives me that vibe. But yeah, I'm thinking he's one of the blues.
One of those boy blues, little boy
blues. Blues brothers.
Yeah.
He could be Sauron. It's probably the Witch King.
I think maybe more Sauron, probably.
Maybe. He's not very beautiful, though, is he?
Yeah, but I mean, it could be one of his.
He just needs a bit of a trim, mate, that's all.
He's much more conscious at this time than this guy. This guy is, you know.
Well, yeah, and also, I don't know why Sauron would have come out of the sky as well.
Yeah, Sauron has like retreated.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least to the outside world, he's repented.
Mm. I mean, this has got to be one of the. Are they called Maiars?
Maia.
The Maia? Yeah. Well, if he's a wizard, then yes, he is. Yeah,
it's got to be one of them. Though that I think as long as we're all in agreement on that.
I mean, unless it could be Saruman.
What?
But Saruman came with Gandalf.
Yeah, he did. They came on their boat together.
So did Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah. And Sylvester Stallone as well.
Yeah.
Adrian! I think we're going to send him back. I think it should just be us that go.
Send him back, but he's not done yet.
This one's broken. Start again.
Now, the final scene we get
is
where Durin the Fourth talks to his father Durin the Third and says, you know, do they know? Did he act like he knows? I trust Elrond with my life. I know when he's lying, all that kind of rubbish. Now, straight away, I went for, because of, it isn't that, the films weren't that long ago, I thought, oh, this is the Arkenstone.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's obviously Mithril. This is the first
it's
time.
It's Mithril. They've discovered Mithril, yeah. Yeah.
They've discovered they bloody Mithril.
They've mined it. It does certainly look like the Arkenstone, the King's Jewel, when they first opened
it. I think that's what they wanted people to think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But
it has that same effect.
Why would they be, like, it's common knowledge, isn't it, that the dwarves have a King's Jewel, and why would it be wanted by anyone else, really?
Well, the elves want pretty much everything that the dwarves mine after they find out about Mithril.
Yeah,
that's why there was so many wars, so many battles, and all that kind of stuff, because they wanted the jewels of the mountains.
Yeah, and they found it in Khazad Dûm. It was called Moria Silver, of course. Yeah. Oh. So it all makes sense. But yeah,
and
it's the point where, you know, the dwarves gently start to diminish. And then eventually, Durin's bane and all that business. Not this Durin, obviously. It's a couple down the line, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's all kicks off from the discovery of Mithril, and they delve too deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they
very cool, though.
They become addicted, and then the Arkenstone drives...
Jenks and pomegranates again.
Yeah, drives them mental.
Give me more! I want more, mother!
Mother?
More pomegranates!
And there we are. We're at the end of the second episode. So, what are our dinkles, dear Liza? Dear Liza. Weeks, I'm going to go to you first, if you don't mind.
This is tricky, isn't it? Because I thought this was a step... No, I'm going to go four again. Four again. I think it was a little step up, but not enough to be a berry.
Mm-hmm.
It again had a... Like, I love the blackberry scene, as you know. But the Durin's dinner table scene was also a highlight, and that was the equivalent. I love the mystery of the stranger. I love the, you know, Galadriel swimming all day. I mean, great. Great stamina. Very admirable. I like the mystery of the Witch King. I liked an awful lot of it. Mm-hmm. But still setting up. Big fours.
Interesting. Interesting. Benjamin Pryor, if you don't mind.
I don't, thanks, mate. This is a big 4.5 from me.
Holy moly.
This is head and shoulders better already. Not only do I feel like I slightly know a bit more about the world, but also we get those incredibly beautiful scenes of Khazad Dûm.
That was good.
It was really beautiful. We get the lovely moment, of course, between Elrond and Durin, that we see their friendship sort of blossoming once more. Mm-hmm. And we get to see what it's like to be a dwarf and to be Elrond an elf, and really sort of delve into that side of things. I think it was a beautiful episode visually and with the concept and the story. It was wonderful. A real treat.
Interesting. I think it's just a four. It's very close, but I'm going to give it just a four here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Fair dues, Jinx. What's your reasoning, mate?
It hasn't gripped me yet. To be completely honest, it hasn't gripped me in.
They're going to start talking about the Rings of Power, mate, and you will quickly lose interest, I tell you.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it gets to that point, I'll just be like, what's the point?
Tell me something I don't know.
Yeah. But, guys, one thing we haven't done, especially also on the House of Dragon.
IMDb.
So I am here with both right now. Don't look yourselves.
What, for House of... House of the Dragon or...
I've got both, House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings.
We can't do a House of the Dragon one on a Lord of the Rings podcast.
Yes, we can. They're both,
that was wrong.
They're both going to cross over, though. They're both going to cross over. So it'll be interesting to compare.
I'm already confused enough as it is.
That is true.
So, Lord of the Rings, episode one. What are we saying? Sugar lump?
No, that is blue tech that I've crafted into a perfect square.
You really are a dwarf, aren't you?
Yeah. I know, I told you.
I mind this.
Find it. Me one hand.
It's so what are we guessing silver. That Shadow of the Past got, episode one?
Is this public vote?
Is it out of 100, isn't it?
No, this is IMDb, so it's out of, it's 10, but it's like...
I would say... 7.8.
I was going to say that as well. That is very
well
strange.
Sorry mate,
I'm going to go for 7.6.
It was 7.4.
oh,
and then the second episode,
I'm going to say 8.2.
I'm going to say 7.9.
it's also 7.4.
no way.
No increase.
Yeah,
so they agree with us.
Yeah,
no, that's just them.
Do you want to know the overall rating at the moment for this series?
Yeah.
I think this is going to give you a wee bit of a shock here, lads.
Well, okay.
Overall, right now, is 6.8 out of 10.
That's tough.
That is very tough. That seems too low for me.
Out of 100,000 ratings.
But then this is the thing, you see. The Tolkien community famously are a bunch of pricks.
They are.
Or at least I would never have said that beyond this, before this point. Mm. But now very famously they are. And I saw earlier today that on one of the awful Middle Earth Facebook groups, I will quickly be leaving, that you know, Amazon have suspended the ratings and stuff like this because
it did, yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't I mean, nothing about this show is deserving of hatred in my mind at all.
No. No.
Like, it's a complete overreaction from utter morons who have got, you know, they've got power from the keyboard.
Yeah.
We're now going to move over to House of Dragon. So
House of Dragon.
That first episode, let's go quick. What do you think that first episode got?
I'm going to say 7. Bang on.
Really? Oh, blimey. I'm going to say
8.4.
8.8. Oh, wow. That is high. To be fair, it was tip-top.
The second episode, The Rogue Prince, the one that we said was a bit calmer.
Yeah.
What do you think that got?
Go on, pray.
8.1.
8.4.
8.5.
Damn!
Wow.
And now the one that's just happened that obviously we haven't talked about yet.
No, but we have seen.
We'll do that when we get to it.
Oh, I think we're going to have to do it now.
Oh, we haven't talked about it.
Oh, yeah, but we've seen it. We still have our own opinions. This isn't going to change our opinions anyway. What do you think it is?
Okay, I'll say 8. Bang on.
9.2.
It's
9.1.
Wow.
Damn it, why am I always 0.1 out?
Now, we are seeing a big difference here.
We are, but you cannot trust the Tolkien community.
No,
you can't trust these reviews, really. We only do it for a bit of like fun, but...
Yeah, no, you cannot, because people have got no right to an opinion.
No, and the critics now have turned into the normal audience that we listen to anyway. So it's very interesting, but, I mean, we're going to have to compare them back and forth.
They've sort of set that up themselves. You know, it's not difficult to compare something which one is out on a Monday, one is out on like a Friday.
Yeah.
It's like Saved by the Bell versus Kenan and Kel, am I right? Yeah.
That rhymed.
That dud.
That dud.
That dud.
That dud. Do you want to go to London?
I'm going to London today. Fantastic.
We'll dub it.
But, yeah, well, there we go. It's all shaping up, boys. It's all
just like this cube.
Just like your cube.
Look, it's just like George Martin said. Not George Martin, George R.R. Martin. George Martin said from Beyond the Grave. He passed it down through his son. It was a remastering session.
He loved these two worlds. He was
a big fan. Yeah. he wasn't interested in music, really.
Nah.
George R. R. Martin was like, this is just a great time to be a fantasy fan.
But it's interesting to see when Game of Thrones first came out and everyone was very much on the edge and George R. R. Martin was saying, I love what Tolkien did, but I hate a lot of his endings because they were always good.
Gandalf should have died and stayed dead.
We're now seeing a series made, you know, very much made by George R. R. Martin, very much involved, up against a Tolkien series. And we're seeing now what audiences are drawing more towards.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But we don't know yet. We don't know yet.
Well, yeah, we're still in very early stages. What? So we're we're a quarter of the way through the Lord of the Rings series.
Incredibly, yeah.
And
is it 10 episodes in?
There's 10 episodes in Game of Thrones. So
the traditional 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And they say that Game of Thrones is still in its setup mode. And after the fifth episode is when it really kicks off with the Dance of the Dragons.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it seems to already be sort of going, but
it's
apparently not.
Very exciting. Obviously, the next podcast will be on the latest House of the Dragon episode.
Oh, so, I wonder if it's any good. Oh.
So we'll get right on with that. And then I suppose we'll be going back to Lord of the Rings.
But only for one episode.
We still need to do She-Hulk.
No.
I think we need to watch it just for Bantz.
I haven't watched it.
I've watched it.
Some people said it was really good.
I haven't met anyone that said that.
No, to be fair, nor can I. I saw something recently which was like, oh, it's got to episode 3 and now it's losing its quality. So I was like, oh, so the first couple were quality, were they?
No, they weren't. No. I've got another question, lads. Why does George R. R. Martin always wear that little hat?
He's got a look, hasn't he?
It's
braces,
weird,
hat. Yeah, he's a funny little guy. He's got that little beard.
Not a little guy.
Okay, all right. That's true. Look, that's why he needs to finish that bloody book and stop messing about with this stupid series.
So, Pry, give us a quick Dinkles rating on She-Hulk.
Okay, She-Hulk is absolutely one Dinkle out of max.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I did see the twerking scene in The Office.
Yes. So, if you... Okay. It's got this person called Megan Thee Stallion, who is a recording artist and a rapper, I think.
Right.
And she features in this. And at the end, both her and She-Hulk are twerking in the office.
Is that a good bit or...?
That's probably the highlight of it, yeah.
And doesn't she kick off... I've seen loads of people say that she kicks off at Banner about her past and history and says that Banner has nothing compared on her and stuff like that.
Yeah, and is Bruce
Banner's in it?
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo's in it, yeah.
I love Ruffalo.
Ruffers is great, listen. Got no qualms with him. It's the writing, it's the story. It's horrible. It's really horrible. It's like...
Is the CGI
nightmares.
Bad?
CGI is terrible. She-Hulk CGI is awful.
Oh,
she looks like a player character that you sort of, when you see yourself in a cutscene, your own player character.
I did see the scene where she walks into the office.
Yeah.
And people are saying that this is like, I don't know if either of you have played FIFA, but when you like, you go on the transfer market and you meet another manager and they walk 100%. Into the room. There's that scene from She-Hulk that she like glitches and then comes in.
If you've ever played like, any of the WWE games where you can have your own wrestler being in the cutscene, that's exactly what it's like. It's sort of walking in.
God.
And you see Ruffalo, he's the same as he was, so top-notch CGI. And it's like, what is going on?
So weird.
Poor old Pry.
But that brings us to the end of this podcast for Lord of the Rings, House of the Dragon, and She-Hulk. So, I've been AJ Jenks, and I've been here with...
Benjamin Pryor.
And
Cheers Works.
We'll see you for the next installment of It Is Gee.
Oh, it's a busy time for the boys.
I know this episode's going to be called She-Hulk now, isn't it?
Might have to be.
I ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a gee.